Time for Choke Points. Light rail service on the east side begins later this month, but it's going to be another year before the trains actually cross Lake Washington. Chris is here with the latest.
And Greg, 8 stations on the east side are ready to roll. The test trains are running on the tracks. The operators are training. Service on the Sound Transit starter line between South Bellevue and the Microsoft campus at Redmond begins Saturday, April 27th. While not the full ride from Seattle to Redmond that Sound Transit promised, Executive Project Director John LeBeau says it's a good start.
I think for the public, it's the realization that we are going to have light rail on the east side, and they're going to see the advantages of having this kind of system in their backyard. I think the next step is to bring it across the lake, and it will be absolutely fabulous.
The full 2 line, which is now the name for East Link Extension, was supposed to open in 2023, at least according to the latest updated estimates. We'll get to when it was really supposed to open a little bit later on. You throw in a pandemic, a little bit of bad concrete, and you get the delay that Sound Transit is working on today. The agency had to pull up all the tracks on the I-90 floating bridge that it had already laid down and replace the more than 5,000 concrete plinths that held them up because the concrete was failing. They tried to repair it, but eventually it just had to replace all the concrete. So where are we now in that process?
We're about 75% done with the track work that needs to be reconstructed. We're looking at 2025 for opening the full East Link across the lake.
So I asked LeBeau about his thoughts on the concrete issue and how it was handled.
It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing both in terms of what work was done by the contractor. There are things that we would do in hindsight, and I think we're doing them right now.
Andy believes that they have taken the proper steps to keep this from happening again.
We have full-time inspection on all of the concrete work that's going in, so we know for sure that the work is being done correctly.
I spoke with Redmond Mayor Angela Burney about the upcoming opening while touring the South Bellevue station. Her hope for this starter line is that it gets people thinking about and using light rail as they wait for the line to Seattle to open.
I know it's not the full meal, the full enchilada, whatever you want to call it, but it's really an opportunity for people to get used to riding light rail that maybe have never used it before in a space where they are used to driving.
The 14-mile light rail extension from Seattle to Redmond has a price tag of $3.7 billion. And it is currently running 5 years behind schedule. It was approved by voters in 2008 as part of ST2. This is not ST3 we're talking about here. So well behind schedule and certainly over budget. And again, we'll find out who has to pay for those bad plinths. If you didn't know what a plinth was, I can talk to you at length about a plinth. But going forward, yeah, so that's where we are, Greg.
Are you looking for your next favorite restaurant? Cairo News Radio's Paul Holden has just the thing.
Maybe you have moved to a new neighborhood and you're wondering where to grab a bite. Or maybe you're in a bit of a food rut and are looking for your next favorite spot. The answer you have been searching for might come this weekend as the spring edition of Seattle Restaurant Week begins. What exactly is Seattle Restaurant Week?
It's, you know, basically a celebration and support of the greater Seattle area's culinary community. So everyone from restaurants to pop-ups to food trucks, really a way for people to explore the diversity and the craft that's throughout our whole region. So it basically works as a dining promotion for 2 weeks, and restaurants offer curated menus for a bunch of different meals, bunch of different prices, sure to meet any most budgets, I'll say. But at 20, 35, 50, and 65, basically people can use our directory and our map, and they can go out and find menus that look really appealing to them and explore new neighborhoods, new restaurants, and support our local economy over good food.
That's Mariah DeLeo, Program Director for Good Food Economy, and she says the 2-week celebration is a great way to support your local eatery.
You know, all restaurants are, even the most celebrated and lauded, are often running with a bunch of challenges. And as much as sometimes we may take them for granted or, you know, certainly celebrate and support all of the kind of really well-known ones, restaurants face a lot of challenges and they're still in need of a lot of support. We still are seeing some restaurants that are facing challenges, some, you know, closures. I think there were a number of closures in January even. And so making sure that people go out and support even their favorite restaurants to make sure that they know that they're loved. And then also just to like celebrate all of the diversity and the cuisine that's out there.
It's also an opportunity for new businesses to break out onto the scene.
In terms of the pop-ups, what we've seen is, you know, we're an economic development nonprofit, and we like to help, you know, small businesses come into their own and thrive. And for pop-ups, those are often like the first step for a lot of restaurants. Most will become brick and mortars, some may not. But this is really their way to kind of test out their cuisine, find an audience, and it's kind of a good way to get their feet wet in the culinary world. So Seattle Restaurant Week is an awesome opportunity to kind of be seen and get people to try them out.
Finding a participating restaurant has been made easy thanks to the Seattle Restaurant Week website, where you'll find places to try, menus, hours, and a helpful map showing what neighborhoods to check out.
All menus are up. We have over 200 participating locations on srweek.org. And you can go there and you can search by price point. So maybe you are budget concerned, but you can look at the $20. There's dinners for $20, lunches for $20, all the way up to $65. So you can really find the price point that works for you. And then just explore the menus. You can say, hey, does this look like something that looks new and exciting, or just something that looks really good for me, or is a good value for me? I spent a good chunk of last night looking through, you know, about half the menus that we've got up there, and there's some amazing food. You can really kind of plan ahead.
It's not just dinner either. There are brunch, lunch, and small plate options, even some drink flights and charcuterie boards. One thing DeLeo says is a must: plan ahead. Make sure you check the hours of places, and reservations are always recommended. And if you need some recommendations,
so many. So let me see if I can break it down. I'm really excited. Mint Progressive Indian has joined us this year. And it's like a really looks like a, you know, multi kind of course, really elevated Indian cuisine downtown. That's exciting. Even a casual place, you know, Rojo's Mexican Food just down the road, a lot more, you know, accessible and looks delicious. Also plant-based. We've got a lot of great restaurants that are participating also in Good Food Kitchens, which is our food assistance program. And so some really great food, Chumin Tofu, Mojito out in Lake City. And I would say if you're into Ethiopian cuisine, come to South Seattle, where both Kaffa and Delish are offering menus for Seattle Restaurant Week.
Seattle Restaurant Week begins this Sunday, and you can get details at
srweek.org.
Paul Holden, Cairo News Radio.
Seattle's Morning News, Greg Tomlin in for Dave Ross this morning, joined now by G. Scott. You can hear him every weekday from 9 to noon on the G and Ursula show. G, thanks for being here. You heard the breaking news. One of the most famous, or should I say infamous, high-profile Americans of all time has died after a cancer battle. O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76. Your reaction?
Which reaction do you want? Do you guys, I know this is for everybody that's listening. Now, right now, I know I am doing morning news with you guys, and thank you guys for having me. You guys want the radio G, or you want the G that's at home chilling with his friends and family? Which one you want?
You know I always prefer the unfiltered.
I want column number two.
You want number two?
The latter.
Okay. I ain't sad. I ain't sad at all. That dude got away with murder. Right? Like, this is this narcissist, right? The one that wrote the book, If I Did It, literally wrote a book called If I Did It, as in his search to find the real killer of Nicole Brown. I think he got away with murder. He was found not guilty in the court of law, but I don't care what the court said. We've all seen cases before where someone's been found not guilty, and you're like, yeah, but you did it. And OJ did it. And so I don't feel bad at all. I mean, well, maybe for his family or anything. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm just going to say it like that. I'm saying that for many years, he caused a family a lot of heartache. And there's that. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm not putting these two people in the same category, but I know earlier in the week we marked the 30-year anniversary since Kurt Cobain's passing. I remember where I was when I heard the news that Kurt Cobain had killed himself. I also remember where I was when I heard the OJ verdict. Yeah. I was in seventh grade. Many classrooms had wheeled television sets into the rooms to watch, And there was almost a celebratory atmosphere. We didn't know what to make of it at the time, 12, 13 years old. But, you know, there are a few moments in my life where I can look back and say, I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news. Is it the same for you, G? I mean, that was billed as the trial of the century at the time. It captivated the country. You had the white Bronco, and I don't know, it brought me back hearing the news that he passed away today.
I just remember the just sheer disappointment. I remember as a kid, my father loved O.J. Simpson. Now, growing up watching football, Sully, you can feel me on this one. Growing up watching football in the 80s and things like that, you know, O.J. Simpson was everything, right?
Like my dad was the same way. The Hertz commercials, watching him play, he was it.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, you guys, we talk about today, where there's LeBron James or whatever, all those things. I'm talking during this time, I was a football fan, which football didn't have the popularity then as it has today. During that time, I was a huge football fan. And if you were then, OJ was everything. Like, he was like the man. And then remember Naked Gun came out and he was in that? Just loved him in that. And so what I'm trying to say is, Greg, is this. Someone's going to say, how will you remember him, right? I'm going to remember him not as a football player, not as Hertz rental car, not as Naked Gun in that movie. I'm going to remember him as that case right there. I'll forever remember that. And the sheer disappointment I had then and that I have now. I used to have arguments with my own grandmother, who would tell me, I don't know why you think he's guilty. What do you mean? All the evidence is in the world. But anyway, that's another story. But my point is, Greg, I'm going to remember the disappointment that I had, the letdown that I had. The old saying, don't meet your heroes, right? How many, and whether it's O.J. Simpson or anybody else, how many times have you been disappointed by someone that you looked up to and loved only to find out, oh, my goodness. And it breaks your heart. I'm going to tell you, top five people in my life that I've ever, like, worshiped, O.J. Simpson was one of them. So that's why you guys are hearing me talk the way that I am. That dude let me down, and there's that.
G. Scott, thanks so much for your take. Hear him every day on the G and Ursula show. You can hear on Cairo News Radio from 9 to noon. Again, O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76 today. We are in the final minutes here on Seattle's Morning News. Mickey Gomez is here. Hello, Mickey.
Good morning.
You know,
I'm telling Sam Campbell to stay. He's like, he's going to walk out.
Please,
I'm like, no,
do.
Stay. I want to know.
And by the way, have you vetoed previously the possibility to intro your segments with that Hey Mickey song from 1981?
You know,
Tony Basil?
Yeah.
Hey Mickey.
Oh,
no?
Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine.
It's a classic.
I don't mind hearing that song.
Okay, good. Maybe we'll include
put that
it
on
in
the roster.
Future conversations. Thank you. You're here to explain to us what bed rotting is.
Yeah, it's what they're saying that a lot of millennials do when they work from home, whether they're hybrid or they're solely working from home. They do everything in bed.
Ew.
And I don't like the name bed rotters or bed rot.
What
because
about
it
bed
sounds,
sloth or something?
Bed sloth. I like sloth. I like that. Okay. Bed sloth. That sounds so much better. But at any rate, Sleep Doctor did a survey. They surveyed almost, right over a little more than 800 full-time remote and hybrid workers. And what they found is that 55% of remote hybrid workers say they bed rot during the workday weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And on days they bed rot, 4 in 10 spend about 3 hours of their workday in bed. So that means that they're sitting there probably in their jammies. They've got their laptop. They've got the TV on. They've got their cell phone. They've got their whole little entire workspace in their bed.
Now, hold on. This is like life imitating art, because producer Dave and I were talking before this segment about, was it Uncle Joe from Willy Wonka's
Grandpa
Chocolate?
Joe.
Grandpa Joe.
I have a big problem with this term bed rotting. I am on the cusp of millennial and Gen Z, so this is very much in my generation.
But that's kind of what you're doing. You're rotting
you are
away
rotting
in
bed,
the bed.
So my wife is a big proponent of this, not to work from home, but if we have, uh, we... I only have Sundays off, essentially. And so mm-hmm. on a Sunday, we either plan a bunch of things to do, try to have fun, try to visit friends and family, or we have a Grandpa Joe day, which is basically we stay in bed, we watch Netflix, I grab a couple of frozen pizzas. You know, we just stay in. And by staying in, it's not just staying in our apartment. It is literally staying in the bed.
Sully's look of disgust right now and judgment on you.
Eating in bed?
In your bed?
Sometimes,
that
yeah.
was like the biggest no-no ever growing up. Never eat in the bed.
Our parents are not there, so we are our own adults, and we'll eat in the bed sometimes. And then the next day, I'll change the sheets.
Oh, all right. Sam Campbell, you're of the same generation as producer David over here.
Actually, I might be a little bit older, but close enough.
Yeah.
Do you bed rot?
No, I do not. And, you know, during the pandemic, sanity. I was working in a job where we did have to go remote entirely. Mm-hmm. And I will admit, I wore pajamas most days, mm-hmm. but I was out of bed because mm-hmm. I don't know about anyone else, but if I stay in bed too long, I get a headache.
Okay. I just fall back asleep. I can be sitting up completely in bed, and my wife will be really upset because we'll be in bed, we'll be snuggling or just watching TV or whatever. She'll be trying to have a conversation with me, and I'll fall asleep like that. If I'm in the bed, if I've got the covers on me, I'm probably sleeping.
May I?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of bed.
And you're getting simple advice.
Well, not you, but they're getting paid for this while they're working while sleeping in their bed.
I would have an issue if I were a manager.
Okay.
Theft?
Well, not if they're... I mean, listen, I understand if you're in bed and you're working, you're getting your work done, but get out of bed. 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You've been in that bed for 7 to 9 hours. You need to get up and go sit at the table, maybe go sit...
Mickey, you know, sleep experts will also tell you that the longer you spend in your bed and you're not sleeping, you're actually training your brain not to be able to sleep as well
really
when you do
point.
Go to bed at
yeah,
night.
No, that, yeah, no, that is true. That's very true. Wow.
The bed is for two activities only. Sleeping... And watching TV. What did you think I was going to say?
Manicure, pedicures. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say petting your animal.
Yeah, letting our dog in the bed.
That's a metaphor.
I will say this because we can't end on that. What I will say is that, and I forgot. Never mind. I can't.
Yeah, let's move on. This is deteriorating quickly.
Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. Thanks for listening to the show's podcast. We're happy you're here.
And you can keep up with the show and find some of the stories from today online at MyNorthWest.com.